It's Tuesday evening, 8 p.m., the 7th of May, 2019, and this meeting is really to try to make plans to prepare for the filing. We're hoping to file in the next month. Again, you know, we don't know exactly when, but, you know, as soon as the papers are completed, we're going to file. And timing is everything. I think the timing is right. There's a lot of things going on in Washington with Trump taking down the deep state. Once the arrest starts, I think there's going to be a lot of nervous people in the judiciary as well as in Congress and everywhere else. And that is where we have to take the advantage. So we have to be ready for that. And I think that we're going to be just pretty much almost on time on that. It's just going to work out time-wise. But in any event, key thing here is we have a lot of people. We have a large membership, over 7,000 people, but we don't have that many people that are really involved. We need more people involved. Now, people who have made the decision to become administrators, you know, they need to step up and get educated and be prepared. And even our rest of our leadership, matter of fact, everybody really needs to get educated. The reason why we have the problems we have is because we're ignorant. And the only way we're going to deal with this is to get rid of the ignorance, and that requires us to take this course. We've spent a lot of time, all the work that we've put together over the past, goodness, what's it been, 8 or 9 years, actually, because we started off in the committee man thing. We ended up, I'm trying to think what year, I think it was 2013 that we started moving towards the dealing with the judiciary and working with the grand jury. But prior to that, we were working with committeemen. Now, we've accumulated a lot of knowledge. We have a lot of, I know collectively, I don't think anyone's got all the knowledge that we have. But, you know, we figured out how the courts work. We figured out how they're getting away doing what they're doing as far as, you know, the fraud. And I think we've got a good hold on how to get into the courts. Of course, there being resistance. The major problem is that we have only the equity court open. Courts of law are not open anywhere. And the courts of law is the courts of nature, nature's God. So it's under natural law. And that is what has been concealed. And we need to make the case clear. And we've been working on this case for quite a few years. We've been filing papers. I don't think it's been 4 years, has it, Jan? I know you wrote down 4 years, but I don't think we've been filing papers for 4 years. I'm trying to think when we started filing papers. It might have been 2016, no? Well, maybe that's 4 years. Let's see, 16, 17, 18, we went to 19. So maybe 3 years.
Pretty close.
Yeah.
I think we started on 2015. I think it's been 4 years.
Okay, well, it's close, 3 to 4 years. So we've got a lot of papers that we filed. We filed over 100 papers. And, you know, that is our court case. The fact that they've resisted and ignored. We have notified the United States Supreme Court many years ago on numerous occasions concerning subversion within our government by enemies foreign and domestic, and they've done nothing. They are required by law to do something, but they did nothing. And that's the leverage we're using to get into the courts. We originally were going to go after the judiciary because they're the ones that exercise all of the fraud. The United States Supreme Court reasonably keeps themselves clean of this stuff to some degree, but they know what's going on, and they are ignoring it. They're not doing anything. Maybe they're not doing anything out of fear, or maybe they're guilty themselves. I think some of them are guilty, and I think some of them are stuck between a rock and a hard place. This will be their opportunity to step up. And if the deep state is falling at the same time that we're filing, and it's an opportunity for them to get free and repent of the things that they've been doing, or shall I say, of the things that they haven't been doing. The Supreme Court has been making decisions that they have no power and no authority to make. In any event, we've got a lot of strategies put together in order to take this next case into the court. Now, we're going to have to deal with Congress, too, and I think we should deal with them at the same time. So the decision at this point is to really go in after not only the United States Supreme Court and the judiciary, but also after Congress. And we have also notified Congress, both houses, on numerous occasions. We've filed papers with them. We've faxed them on a regular basis. Notified them also, of course, of the concern with subversion, and they've done nothing. Now, there is a U.S. code that requires anybody who discovers subversion against the United States is to report it to some judge or the President of the United States immediately. For not doing so is a crime. We've done so, and they didn't react. They didn't do anything. That's a crime. And that, again, as I mentioned before, is going to be our leverage. Congress is just as guilty. We've got about 22 or 23 memorandums done. Each one of these memorandums deal with a particular subject matter that they have distorted, destroyed, covered up. It's just to exercise our unalienable rights in courts is pretty much almost nil at this point. So we have the right and the authority to step up and take back our government. And let me take a look at something we recently, I recently found. I shared with a few people. I had never seen this before in my research. I found a paper. Let me see if I can open this up first. There it is. I found a paper for the original. No, I got the wrong one. Hang on. 13K. Let me see if I can find this paper, and I'll tell you what it was that we found. All right, I can't seem to find it at the moment. Anyway, we found a Bill of Rights, the original Bill of Rights, that was proposed to Congress back in 1780. I think it was actually proposed in 89, early part of 89, and then eventually, of course, by 1891 is when the Bill of Rights became part of the Constitution. But in 1789, when the Constitution, before it was finalized, they agreed upon working out the Bill of Rights, and there were 12 amendments, and it ended up being 10. And as you go through this, you can see how they work things through to combine some together, and also one or two, one I'm going to talk about, it wasn't necessary to put into the Constitution because it was already in there. It was in the Declaration of Independence. And it is the right of the people to remove and replace people in government when the people feel that they are no longer doing the things that they should be doing. It is no longer, when it starts to destroy liberty and we start to lose our the liberty and our freedoms and our and the government, is just out of control. So we have a right, of course, to take down government and bring it back up. And we also have a right to remove people. And the process by which we can remove people, Washington talked about this also. He called it recalling them. And let me just read what Washington said. He says, "The powers under the Constitution will always be in the people. It is entrusted for certain defined purposes and for a certain limited period to representatives of their own choosing. And whenever it is executed contrary to their interests or not agreeable to their wishes, their servants can and undoubtedly will be recalled." And that's what this court case is about. We're going to recall the judiciary. The Constitution is absolutely clear that when an individual, particularly in the judiciary, but this is anywhere in government, when they are in they only get to serve when they're in good behavior. Good behavior is obedience to the Constitution. Bad behavior is subversion to the Constitution. They stand guilty ultimately right now as we speak because they have been notified in writing concerning the subversion and they've done nothing. And again, we're going to use that as the leverage. In the Declaration of Independence, again, we read, see whereabouts this is. Okay, here, I'll read from We Hold These Truths to Be Self-Evident. But it's within that paragraph. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Okay, so we the people have the power not only to abolish the government, we also have the power to alter. Alter is to change the individuals within that government. Now give me a second. Let me see if I can find this. It should be, I think I was looking at the wrong place. This is the book. Oh, okay, I was looking on the wrong chapter here. Now, this is the original draft of the Bill of Rights. And let's see, this was, let me read what it says here. This is in the Annals of Congress, House of Representatives, First Congress, First Session, June 8th, 1789, Washington, D.C. And it says here, the Federalist and Anti-Federalist Compromise. And this is the original writing paper that was filed to become and to be decided on for become our Bill of Rights. And this is the first item. First, that there be prefixed to the Constitution a declaration that all power is originally vested in and consequently derived from the people. That government is instituted and ought to be exercised for the benefit of the people, which consists in the enjoyment of life and liberty, with the right of acquiring and using property, and generally of pursuing and obtaining happiness and safety, that the people have a definite, unalienable, and indefeasible right to reform or change their government whenever it be found adverse or inadequate to the purposes of its institution. So with these three documents alone, it tells us how to fix our government. Now, we knew when we started organizing here with National Liberty Alliance, we knew we had to meet critical mass to really get done what needs to be done. And so we knew we had to go out and organize the nation. We did that. We organized every state in the union. And we're probably in maybe two-thirds of the counties. I don't know if anybody's ever done a count on that. Maybe Ron. Ron may know. Do we have people in every county? And maybe if you know that, you can pipe in, or if anybody else knows that. I've never looked at the statistics to see. But we got people in a lot of places. But a lot of people have fallen asleep. A lot of people are participating, but they're not supporting. A lot of people are participating or not participating or participating occasionally, but they're not educating. If we don't become educated, we're not going to be able to save this nation. There's no way we cannot become consenters of our government if we do not understand how our government works, if we don't understand the limitations and the criteria by which the government must act within, that they have to be chained down by that Constitution. And every time they break those chains, we need to bring those chains and bring them back under that Constitution. And if the people don't understand when they're breaking that chain, and they don't understand how to put them back under that chain, under the chains of the Constitution, then how can we fix our government? We cannot be ignorant people and go into power and authority, because we, the people, have to go into power and authority. We have to consent to government. We have to become educated. We have to give a piece of our time and life to participate in this. Everybody needs to volunteer somewhat. And when this process gets going, everybody needs to become a committee man at least once in their life. It's only a 2-year commitment. It requires about 40 hours a year, usually around election time. And that's it. And it's a very powerful position. The committee men get to decide who goes on the ballot. And we can require no one to get onto that ballot without having an understanding of the Constitution. We need to quiz them in the powers and authorities that they have. And if they don't know them, why would we put them on the ballot? I can tell you from listening to, and especially with the knowledge that I have today, I didn't have years ago, but I do have now, I can tell you by listening to these elected individuals, they don't know anything about the Constitution. They don't know, maybe few of them do, they don't know anything about our founding fathers. They don't know their words. They don't know the meaning of liberty. They don't understand that the courts of laws have been, law has been shut down and eliminated in the United States. They don't understand anything. They're up there even arguing, some of these people, and just trying to get a popular vote for the president. And they don't understand that president is not elected by popular vote. President is elected by the states. And it's important that the states elect that president. But the compromise in the Constitution was because, on the one hand, it made sense for the people to elect the president, but on the other hand, the states had the power and the authority. The problem was the imbalance of power, the imbalance of voting someone in. In other words, a couple of states, you take California, you take New York and Pennsylvania, maybe Texas and maybe one or two other states, or Florida maybe one. You get control of a few of those states, and you can control the presidency every 4 years. That's what popular election will do to us. Okay? But the compromise was, let the people of the state elect who they want to be president, and then the state gets so many votes to apply according to population. And that's why President Trump was elected. He didn't get, well, he actually probably did get the popular vote, but of course there was cheating going on, so he didn't get the popular vote. But I think when it's all said and done and the truth is out, which may take a year or two before this truth comes out, but I think we're going to find out that the president did have a lot more votes and that there was a lot less votes for Hillary Clinton than what was recorded. But therein is the ignorance of the 17th Amendment. We had already been falling asleep, that we allowed them with the 17th Amendment that was never even ratified. And you bring it up to the people, and it's like, well, okay, yeah. You should be outraged that the 17th Amendment was never ratified. You know, the Constitution, the power structure of the Constitution cannot be changed without totally altering our government. When you alter the power structure, you alter the whole Constitution. And that's what they did with the 17th Amendment. When they took away the voting in of senators from the states and gave it to the people. The people already had their representatives. We have Congress. The states are supposed to have a say in this whole matter. And when the people don't understand and make a bad decision, there's the states there through the Senate to prevent it from happening, and vice versa. That's the balance of power. Very important. We don't have it. The states are not sovereign anymore. Let me repeat that. I don't know if people are hearing this, and I've repeated this numerous times over the past year or so. The states are no longer sovereign. They have absolute zero to say of what the federal government does. Federal government does whatever it pleases, and the states are powerless to do anything. Why? Because they don't control the Senate.
You know, senators, John, can I interrupt?
No, not yet. Senators were meant, of course, for the states. And again, two senators for every state. And these states, you know, they would choose their senators generally by the governor would, maybe say, you know, bring someone up to become a potential senator, and the legislators would vote on it and either agree or disagree, and they'd find someone that would come in. Same way it works for the president with his cabinet and with the judges and so on. And so that whole thing has been destroyed. But it can be easily fixed, and we've also notified every governor in his state. About 2 years ago, we notified them of the situation, the problem. We've given them the proof of the fact that it was never ratified. We showed them how it changed the power and the authority and the structure of power in the Constitution, the way it should work. It changed the whole structure of the way our government works. And we also informed them that all they got to do is just pull back the senators that are there now, choose their own, and send them in and see what happens. But they haven't done it. We've also let them know, we've told them that there was subversion against the Constitution, against the people. We also notified all of the judiciary on the federal level and that of the subversion. And again, they've done nothing. So generally speaking, the way law works, they've defaulted. They acquiesced. And so the court case has been going on for 3 or 4 years, however long it's been that we've been going in. We're pulling all these papers together now, and we're going to bring in a paper going up against the United States Supreme Court as the grand jury, as the prosecutor, and as also the trial jury. We're the people. We can do all of that as one. And then it's a matter of laying this whole thing out, showing their crimes, what they have done, what they have ignored. Again, each one of these memorandums is a nail in their coffin, each one. And I suspect now that we're going to pull Congress in, we're going to have 40, at least 40 memorandums. So we have 40 issues at hand in each one that they have broken. And we're going to show them how they have denied the people of their unalienable rights, how they concealed courts of records, which is a court of law, which is a law, you know. Again, our courts are not meant to be ruled over by an elected individual or an appointed individual. They have no business in there. Common law prevents that from happening. The only purpose or reason we have an individual who might be a judge, all judges are magistrates. Magistrates, basically, they certify things. That's the main thing that they would be responsible for in a court of law. Certifying, putting the signature, the seal, and stamping, and filing. That's their job. Not to get involved in the case in any way, shape, or form. They have no business telling a trial jury, you get to decide the facts, we decide the law. There is no law in a court of law, save the law of God. That's the whole purpose. It's 12 individuals who represent the king of the court. And the king of the court is eternal God, nature's God. That's how this country was put together. That's how common law works. And this goes all the way back to about 1600 B.C., going back to the days of Moses. And this whole that's how we get this whole structure of to begin with common law. And then, of course, it came up in Britain at about 400 or 500 B.C., A.D., and that's when common law started to surface into the world ultimately. The United States is the first nation to rise up, to set itself up the way we were set up. We've got three branches of government, and it's supposed to be ruled by the people, by controlling the political process, which is a committee man deciding who goes on the ballot and who doesn't, the power of recalling anyone at any time, including the President of the United States. We can recall him. We can recall any senator, we can recall people in the states because the senators are connected to Well, we can actually probably recall the senators. I'd never thought that out. I'd have to think that out a little more. But we can recall congressmen, or we can recall anybody from the committeeman structure or process. People need to understand this. Right now, it's been robbed from the people. It's a top-down structure. The elite have total control over this. They decide who goes on the ballots, and our only decision is the criminal on the right or the criminal on the left. Your choice. That's where you get to consent, so they say. But it's more than that. Again, we have the power to recall. We can remove anyone from government within 90 days and set up a new election to replace that individual, should they deserve to be recalled. Now, anybody who is in bad behavior, not obedient to the Constitution, not supporting the Constitution, not lifting up the Constitution, we can recall them. They're in bad behavior. Same thing with a judge. They have the power and the authority to recall a judge if he's elected. Well, we also have the power and the authority to recall a judge even if they're not elected, and we could do that through an indictment. And that therein is the power of the people on the judicial side. So if we control the political and we control the judicial, the people at the grassroots level, we have consent of government. Now, when an individual is accused of a crime in a criminal action, we're going to stick on the federal level for right now, because the state levels ultimately in this whole process is irrelevant for the battle, because once you win in a federal level, the states must comply. So that's why we chose, we at first started this on the New York level, thought we would be able to approach it that way, but as time went on, we learned that that wasn't possible. We'd have to go and win a battle in all 50 states and still have to deal with the federal government. But with the federal judiciary, we bring them under the control, we bring everything under control. So that's where real consent is. But a court of law was meant only for an individual who would be a magistrate, who would then just record the decision, the findings of the court, and put the seal on it and execute it. That was the power and the authority of the magistrate. As far as the court case itself, it's we the people, through the grand jury, untainted, uncontrolled by rings and our noses, drawn around by these prosecutors, these U.S. attorneys, telling us that how they're going to, they're going to indict their ham sandwich. That should be an insult to every American, the idea that they make a big deal and they laugh about it. We can indict a ham sandwich. That's a pretty sad day in America, and they've been saying that for a long time. Now, the fact of the matter is they're only there to be able to bring forth a case against someone, and the grand jury should understand that they are free to dig more and look more and decide. But it's ultimately up to the people. The government comes to the people and say, can we please indict this person? We think they should be indicted. And the grand jury looks at that and says, I don't think so. Forget about it. Take a hike. Or they agree. We don't have that power. We don't have that authority. These people are totally controlled. It's all psychology. Every jury out there is stacked, controlled by statutes. Common law is not statutes. Common law has no place under the law of God, especially it has no place above the law of God. So once the person is in the trial, it is the trial jury who decides what's happening. And here's another thing, How is it that these people think that they can get a grand jury indictment and some lone U.S. attorney prosecutor decide, we're going to throw it away. We're going to throw that indictment away. Nobody has the power, the authority to throw away the indictment of the people. How'd they get away with that? Because we're ignorant. People don't know it. People in government don't even know it. How is it that they don't understand, all these problems with trying to get people into the positions that there are still vacancies in? President has put in a lot of people up to fill these vacancies, and the Senate can't get it done. Why? Because they have this crazy idea that they think they can create a rule that they need more than 50 votes, or 51 votes, shall I say. No, the Constitution is crystal clear. Two senators, one vote apiece, 50-50, if it breaks and it's even 50-50, the vice president sitting as vice as the president of the Senate makes the breaking tie-breaking vote, and whatever that may be, it is. But unfortunately, we have it's just frozen up there. We have a lot of positions that have not been filled. We have we need to get rid of. We need to fill a lot of judge positions, and they're being prevented from happening, because we don't have, the people who are interested in saving this nation in our Senate. We don't have enough of them. We do have the majority, but not a majority enough according to the way they run this vote. I forget what it is. I think it's. They want, let me think about this, to be a half. I think they want 3/5 of a vote. When it's only 1/2, you only need 51 votes in the Senate to make anything happen. But again, there's the problem. Well, how do they get away with it? Because the people are ignorant. And the people in power are even ignorant because they don't sit down, they don't read this thing, and bring it together. You know, it's called construction of law. You know, you look up a particular subject and you study it in the Constitution, where it says a little bit here, a little bit there, and a little bit over here, and you bring it together, and you've got an understanding. It's pretty simple. This is not complex. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. But again, you know, if we don't become educated. So anyway, the people are supposed to decide. They decide whether the person is innocent or guilty. But they also get to decide they have to make the decision, how are we going to restore the injured party? They don't even use that. They don't even get involved in that part. If the government comes in and arrests someone and takes away everything that they own, they go to jail and they take away everything they own, they seize this and they seize that, and they seize all the properties involved in the crime maybe or whatever, and what do they do with it? They stick it into their pockets. Well, what's up with the person who was injured? Well, they need to be restored. Oh, well, I'll just go back to court and file a case. Yeah, where do we get $1 million to go in and fight a case, especially in a federal court? Maybe $1 million is a little high, but I don't think so. We hear people that have spent millions of dollars trying to defend themselves just recently with what the deep state is involved with, just trying to defend themselves because they're being accused of this or that or the other thing. And they claim that they're spending millions of dollars and they're broke. Why should justice cost so much? How is it that we think we have to pay for justice? We have to pay $400, $405 to get into a federal court. Then we have to pay another $100 here and $50 there to make a motion or to do this or to do that. And then we have to pay $505 to appeal it. And then we have to get some high, you know, special, you can't just get any lawyer to go to the federal court, you know. You got to get someone who is knowledgeable in that area. They're very expensive. Where do we get the money to get justice? How did they get away with this? How did this happen? Because the people are ignorant. Jefferson has said this. We have mentioned this. It's on our front page. If the people expect to be ignorant and free, forget about it. So this is decision time for the people. You want to be free or you don't want to be free. You got to step up. Everybody's got to step up. And not just the people who have come to this meeting tonight, the people who may be listening to this recording, and not just them. We need to get the word out there. We need to get that critical mass. We're trusting that we're doing God's work ultimately. And it's really up to him to make things work, not up to me or you or anybody else. But we are to do our part. We are to give our few bucks here to support this mission. We are to give a few hours a week to support what we're doing. We are to spread the word, to get more and more people to come to our website, to get involved, to take up a position, a state coordinator position, or a county organizer position, or become an administrator within their county. We need 4 administrators in every county. We only got about 1,000 and change, but of the 1,000 and change, not everyone is in the course. Why aren't they getting prepared for the work that is ahead of us? How do they think, or how do we think, that we're going to take control of a court without knowledge? How are we going to deal with the juries to orientate them if we can't even orientate ourselves? We have to have knowledge. And I don't see the people moving into the course to do that. And I certainly hope everybody in this meeting tonight, and everybody hears this call, hopefully gets into this course and starts to get themselves prepared. Now, I'm going to go back to what I started off with, talking about president, and I think in the next month or two, there's going to be arrests everywhere. There's going to be panic everywhere. You know, these judges are still bold because they didn't get the memo yet. They still think, because of this fake news out there, that their people are still somewhat in power. We're going to get through this. Don't worry about it, they're telling them, I'm sure. They got to keep their people together somehow. But when they find out that there is no hope, and it's only a matter of time before they're found out, and that they're going to go down, they're going to panic. And that's when we, the people, if we come in right at the right time, we come in with the olive branch. We give them that opportunity to make that decision. You have one decision. There are three possibilities, three ways to go. You can ignore what we're saying, and we will indict you. You can, and in ignoring that, you can try to prevent us. You can try to prevent us from doing what we're doing. We're going to indict you. You can resign. That's the second choice. And the third choice is they can cooperate. Repent. Cooperate is repentance. They can cooperate, start doing the right thing, and get behind the people. And let's get rid of all these criminals, all these tyrants. Now, we believe, we've had contact with, not directly, but we have contact with the Trump administration. We've had contact with his people when he was campaigning. You know, people with National Liberty Alliance involved with other people working together to try to deal with the Bundy problem and Lavoie Finnegan and all those things that took place out in Oregon and out there in Nevada. And during that time period, there was a connection made with, at that time, it was the Trump campaign. And our papers were sent, given to the Trump campaigns, you know, to Trump's campaign, the people out there, and got back to the president. And the word came back to us that he was very interested in our paperwork and wanted to receive any paper we filed anywhere. And we've been doing so for 3 years or whatever it's been. So it's not, this is not going to be a surprise to him and his administration. We're also hope that we're going to get working with us is the Justice Department. So we're going to be making contact with Barr. We have been communicating one way, of course, with Jeff Sessions when he was in there. I can only say one thing about Jeff Sessions. Q said many times, trust Sessions. So something's going on there. It was all part of the play, all part of the game. These things had to happen the way they happened. And remember, you know, things take time. I think a lot of people with National Liberty Alliance fell asleep because they think we're not going nowhere. They need to understand patience. They need to understand that things take time. You have to accomplish certain things, getting certain requisites completed and prepared for and ready to go to the next step and to the next step and to the next step. We couldn't just come in and write a paper and go right for the juggler. First of all, we didn't have enough knowledge to begin with. Knowledge came with time. We also didn't have enough people. You know, I remember when we started this thing, we were half a dozen people in a room. That was it. A half a dozen people in a room. And it grew to 7,000 members. And, you know, and we have a presence in every single state. So we've accomplished a lot, but it took time. Time to wake the people who fell asleep up. We need everyone involved getting on the phones. We need everyone involved to become part of a committee. We have certain committees that call people to welcome people in. We want to build another committee that goes out to get us interviews, because that's when we're going to build up our membership up, is going out and giving interviews. There's a lot of people who I think would love to have the knowledge that we have, that we can give them here at National Liberty Alliance, but they're not aware that it exists. And a lot of these people think that they can fight the battle and take control and do what they got to do and not know the Constitution. Well, then we're going to be something else. We're not going to be the United States of America under the Constitution. We're not going to be a common law nation under God. We're going to be something else, because you'll make it up as you go. And our next problem will be worse than the last problem, this problem that we're dealing with now. We've been given a second chance. This whole thing with Trump is a total miracle to me. I never saw it coming. I don't know anyone who saw it coming. I was ready for the bunker, you know, getting food and weapons and ammunition and everything you could think of, just getting prepared for the worst. And most people I know were doing the same thing. But we had hope. We always had hope. But it didn't look good. We thought maybe we'd have to go through some hard times first. And then Trump shows up on the scene. And he was far greater than I ever could have possibly have dreamt. He understands everything that's going on. And we've watched Trump even grow in his conversations and the things he's said, you know, growing closer and closer to that Constitution. Not that he wasn't there before, but I think he's been reading our papers. He's been getting educated, too, from us. I'm sure he had his own education to some degree and whatever, but I'm sure he got something from us. After all, we've been sending our papers. We've been talking to him about our founding fathers, about United States Supreme Court rulings that are rock solid, about the Constitution and the application of that Constitution and the comparison of that Constitution and how it works with the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights. But the people need to become involved. So this is the last call for this. I'm hoping that everyone gets involved, joins a committee, gives a couple hours. We need a group of people. We'll give them the phone numbers, the people to contact, which is our membership, to wake them back up, to get them involved. Even if you call 5 or 10 people a week, whatever. And there's other committees doing other things, which we're going to talk about a little tonight, some things. To me, the most important committees we got going that we should have really rocking and rolling is the welcoming committee, making sure that we, you know, seal up an understanding of what we're doing to the people who are joining us as a membership. And another committee is a committee going out there getting us interviews. You know, we can go, if we get interviewed by X22, for instance, I don't remember how many thousands of people tune into that, but it's a high number, okay? The Black Conservative News, I'm trying to think of the name of that one. I listen to this guy all the time. He's pretty darn good. And this guy's got like 250,000 members, people who follow him, okay? If we can get interviewed by them, okay, and all these people, all right, that's what we need. And we're not asking anyone to go in and speak for, you know, National Liberty Alliance and for what we're doing with the grand jury. And, of course, people feel if they're qualified to do so and we have some conversation with them and we feel comfortable, then fine. But, you know, I'll do this. I'll do the interviews and Gerard will do the interviews. We'll get out there and speak. I'll speak every night to people if I can. Okay? And I know if we bring our message to those people to empower them, they'll see it, they'll take advantage of it, and we will grow and we'll become very close to that critical mass. And if that's happening at the time when we're filing papers and we're growing and critical mass is about to erupt, at that point it will erupt. I do have faith. I trust that somehow the administration's going to get us some backing and, you know, recognition. I trust that, and we're going to send all of our paperwork, like I said, to the Justice Department also. And so, Attorney General Barr is going to get things directly from us, and we're going to send him a list of people that we've indicted, and we want U.S. attorneys to come and run these indictments. That's what we want, to do their job and take these tyrants out. But again, we can't do this if you only got 1 or 2 or 5 or 10 people knowledgeable of what's going on. The people have to know. Benjamin Franklin said, we don't have government by the majority. We have government by the majority who participates. We are part of that part that participates, that majority. We are part of that. We need to get it out to the rest of the people. And that's when we take this nation back. If we do not win our courts back, remember, there is no, I don't see any plan anywhere else other than National Liberty Alliance. If anybody knows of any other plan, tell us about it because we don't know about it, where the people are looking to take control of the courts. If the people do not take control of the courts and bring back the king of that court to bring that under justice and righteousness again, if we do not do that, you cannot have liberty. I can't have liberty. We will be as just as our courts are, and our courts are corrupt, and that's why we're corrupt across the world. We got the CIA and other three-letter agencies doing all kinds of havoc, creating war and problem. Finally, it stopped since Trump is in. He's turning that whole thing around. But it'll be back if the people do not take control themselves. If the people do not take the responsibility of consenting in the courts and in the political process of what they are permitted to do, when they break the law, when they break that constitution, we will give them a warning. We let them know, depending on how serious it is, of course, we let them know to fix it or get out of office because we're taking you down. And we can do it either through the juries, the grand jury, through an indictment, or we could do it through the committee man, through recall, as George Washington spoke of. So it's up to the people, but it starts here. It starts here with getting educated. It starts here with getting involved and signing up. And again, it's close. It's close. You know, again, we're moving, and when the time comes and the paperwork is ready to file, and I don't know when that's going to be. It's not going to be a long time. I know that. But when it's ready, maybe a month or so, roughly speaking, we trust that the timing will be right. You know, if it takes longer, maybe God is holding us back because the timing isn't right. It's in His time, ultimately, not ours. We only need to do our job and have faith and trust that God's going to take care of it because He's the one that has to really win the war. He's the one that has to really take control. And remember, those 12 individuals that are jurists, they're called the King's Bench. They are there to represent the will of the king, not the will of the state, because right now they're in there representing the will of the states because our courts are filled with statutes. Like I said, they've closed down the court of law. They concealed it. They sealed up the windows, the doors. You can't see it. Nothing in the paperwork. There's only civil cases you can file. Civil means statutory. I don't want to be in a statutory court, not in this environment, I don't. So that's why we have to take control. We have every power, every right, every authority. We have the unalienable right to do the things we're doing. We've been very careful in how we proceeded. We tried to stay away from the crazy world stuff. Not that it isn't true, but it's kind of crazy world because why are we going to go play in their sandbox? No, that's a fraud. It's called a fraud what it is, a fraud. They belong in jail. We don't want to go in there and play the word game and click our heels and think we're going to be transported somehow into justice. Never going to happen. Never going to happen. And believe me, I came in that way. I started looking at these websites and learning the man on the land stuff and all that stuff and thinking we were going to do this and do that. You only get yourself deeper trouble, deeper and deeper trouble in the courts. And you don't get out from them very rarely. On a few occasions it's happened, but they do the tighten up. Once someone gets through the system, they study what they've done, figure out what happened, and they tighten it up, and you ain't doing it a second time, you know? So that's where we're at. People need to step up. We need to be support. Everybody should be given at least $5 a month to support what we're doing. We need money. We got a lot of papers to file. We've got hundreds and hundreds of papers that we have to print out for each filing, okay? And that's going to cost money and time. We have to certify the mailing and everything. It's going to cost money for that, just to do that. And of course we need to keep the lights on. You know, our website and all the things we do is not free. Cost us money. So $5 a month is not a lot. If people can't stick into their pockets and give $5 a month, that's pretty sad when they go out, spend money on some ridiculous things. They go out and buy a phone for $1,000. I refuse to do that. I will not buy a smartphone. $800, $900, $1,000? No way. I got a flip phone. That's what I'm with. I got a computer on my desk and I got a laptop if I need to travel. Why do I need a $1,000 phone? And what does it do? It takes her attention away. Walk into any of these places where you could sit down and have something to eat. For instance, go into Dunkin' Donuts. And just sit there for a while and look at the people. You'll see people crowded at a table sitting together and having a donut and having something to drink, and they're not talking to each other. They got their faces stuck in that stupid screen, that smartphone. Okay? So it's not doing us any good. But the point is if people can throw their money away and waste their time on that, they can afford $5. Everyone can afford to give up one coffee and one roll a month. Because that's about what $5 is. Maybe a donut and a roll and a coffee. And I think that'll come over $5. You can't give that up. It's pretty sad when people can't do that. And some people can do more. And whatever it is that they can do. But we also need the time. The money without the time doesn't work either. We need people putting their time in. So that's what we're here for. And what I have to say is this. Every grand jury administrator, you got to get into the course. There is no you know what? Resign your position. Get a hold of Jan and tell Jan, I no longer want to be an administrator. And let us know so we really know what's really going on, because we don't want to waste our time trying to pull people pull their teeth to get them to do something and wasting our time when we can go out and try to bring new people to replace them. So if you are an administrator, you took an oath. And with that oath, you need to educate yourself. It's a wrongdoing for you to think that you're going to take that position without an education. And that position may be coming up very quickly, within months. So we don't have much time to educate ourselves. The other thing is, of course, is we have national coordinators that haven't been as involved as they should be. We do have some that are very involved all the time here, but they're not always all here. And they need to be more involved, too. State leadership positions that we have a lot open. We have a lot of people who have taken positions and sitting there, and maybe they just want the position and name and put on a business card or something. I don't know, whatever it is, but they're not doing what they need to be doing. They need to be, working in their state. They have to be, well, first of all, the county organizers are to organize, okay? And the state coordinator is there to coordinate that organization and work with those county organizers as they build up their ranks in the counties. But a lot of people are falling asleep. So either we're going to do this thing or we're not. I'm going to go full bore, continue as far as I can go. And if it collapses because the people don't want to participate, then it's on the people. It's not on us that have tried our best. But I don't think we're going to fail anyway, because I'm convinced we're going to make it for numerous reasons. There's a biblical reason I've convinced, Isaiah 14 to begin with. So I've seen where the end results of this thing is going to be, probably. Maybe I've misinterpreted that. That's a possibility. But I don't think so. And so, we're doing the righteous thing. We're doing the just thing, trying to bring God back into the courts. In other words, trying to bring justice back into our courts. That's what we need to do. So we need the leadership to step up. We need people to fill these leadership roles. We need people to contact shows and different places for interviews. We need people getting together and discussing other ideas and bringing it up and, to the national leaders. And the national leaders should be debating and discussing other ideas that may work with us. We need two people, and everything we do has to be done with a partner. Because, we all have a life, and sometimes you can't make it someplace when somebody has to be there. But if you have a partner and two people are showing up, but occasionally one can't make it, there's always someone to be there to take care of business. So if someone gets sick, ill, or even dies, you need to have a partner. And so we need to be building in twos. There are two other places where we can get a lot of exposure. One of it is a place called TalkShoe, which we were on many years back. We did have some problems, but we need to reopen that. We still have an account over there. And we need to be broadcasting our Monday night meetings there. But we need two people to control those rooms, because we would want questions coming from those rooms also. So we need someone to make that connection between, let's say, TalkShoe, on Monday nights, and of course our Monday night program. There's another one out there that used to be very big. I presume it still is. I haven't been out there in a long time, but Pal Talk. Pal Talk was huge, a huge community. It was a worldwide thing. A lot of people in the United States. And they have a lot of political discussions going on over there. A lot of conservatives, a lot of patriots, a lot of things. Okay? So we need to put a shingle up. What's good about those two places is they actually have, where you can go look, from one room to another. You can pull up a category and you look at the shingles that people are hanging on their doors and what the subject matter is, and people, have an interest in that subject matter, will join the room for a while, see what's going on. So we can get a lot of exposure, people coming in and just kind of walking through the door as we're having a Monday night meeting and hopefully getting interested in what we're doing and get involved. But TalkShoe and Pal Talk is two of the two that I can think of. There may be others. So we need people to think about others. If there are others, let's find them too. We have a radio program where we broadcast. Of course, we have the Monday night program where people come in numerous ways. We need to get out and talk to you. We need to get our pal talk in any. And I really hope everybody. And somebody shut us off. What happened?
I can hear you.
You disappeared on me for a while there twice.
Okay, well, I got disconnected somehow. Maybe they're listening in. I'll get paranoid a little, you know?
Yeah, they probably are.
Okay, so, let's do what we got to do. All right, Jen, do you have any way to take this? Or Ron? What about Ron? Ron, you're doing a lot of good work for us. Maybe, Ron, you can pipe in and tell the people what you're doing and see if you can get some more volunteers to work with you. Ron, star 6 to unmute yourself. Is Ron here? Yep, I can hear you now. Go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, John. To answer your earlier question, we have about 51% of the counties covered with our membership, and we're in 20 countries, I think it is now, or 21 countries, and we're in all 50 states. What we're doing in NLA the Welcome Committee is we're contacting the active people who joined us during the year of 2016 and 2017, 2018 and 2019, those who took courses and became active from that standpoint. And we're having pretty good feedback in that regard. And, of course, we try to keep at least, we're about 30 days behind on contacting the new people, but that's a lot better than it's been in the 6 years I've been with NLA. The biggest problem we have is people getting active, and once they've finished a course, staying active and within their community. And I've had lots of discussions with Will regarding that specific topic. When they finish a course, they need to actually get active within their voting district, the 6 square miles that they live in. They need to go to the county. They need to find out what election district they live in. They need to contact the county clerk and find out when their monthly meeting is and start attending the monthly meeting and find out what is happening in their county. A lot of people don't go to these committee meetings, monthly meetings. I know because I've been to them, and there might be 6 people in the audience out of the 10,000 people in my county. A lot of people can get a lot of stuff done in those meetings because there's not anybody going to those meetings. That's how AOC got nominated in her district, because nobody was showing up to vote. So they got their cohorts in there voting, and they got her in to that position with hardly anybody voting. I think she won by, I don't know, it was like 11% of the people voting in that community. Anyway, people need to get involved with their election district, and that's where the committeeman process takes place, as you know, John. And that's why this course is so vital that everybody take it. And I understand in talking with you today that the long-awaited section of the Constitution, the more advanced Constitution class than the one that is presently up there, is going to be posted pretty soon. You and Carl are going to get to that chapter 7, and post that. That was great news, because I know that a lot of people would like to take the Constitution course. They come in, they don't know anything about the Constitution. And as we discussed today, most who read the Constitution find it's very dull as dishwater read, unless you get into the history of the players in the Constitution and who did what, when, and where in the historical background. You don't really get a taste of the Constitution. And a lot of people don't have that long-term outlook as you do, and many of the people that have remained involved with NLA. And I think to get a long-term view, it would behoove anybody to get a hold of their favorite founding father and write and read an actual biography of that person to understand what went on during their lifetime when these documents were being written. that would give them a better long-term perspective because they get a background and a backdrop of what went on. Also, the other thing is, during 2016, when we were going sideways with everything out in Burns, Oregon, a lot of stuff was uncovered then that the people in 2013, 14, and 15 that came into NLA may have missed entirely. And the people that came in 2017, 18, and now 19 never heard. And so unless they listened to those tapes during 2016 to know what actually was uncovered, there was about a dozen real diamonds in the rough there that nobody is aware of, unless they either go back and read those transcripts, which we also have on the on that page, on the welcome page for the Monday night. A lot of people don't even, they're not even aware of that we have the transcripts, but they can read those transcripts or they can re-listen to those tapes. But a lot of stuff went down that we were unaware of, as you know, and you and Brent were even surprised to find out that the committee men were actually the members of the Committee of Safety. We didn't even know what the Committee of Safety was. That whole stuff was uncovered. And a lot of that history that we should know and should get in our education was never put in our education. And so a lot of people just don't get it. Now, as far as reading the Constitution and understanding the Constitution, it's like any subject at all. If you don't understand all the definitions of all the words on each one of the pages in the Constitution, you're not going to understand the document. Just like if you study electrical engineering or architecture, if you don't understand the terminology used within that particular profession, you're not going to understand that profession. And the same is true with the Constitution. And like John always says, if you are unfamiliar with a word, look it up in the dictionary. And if you're not fully convinced of what the Founding Fathers meant, you can go back and read the Anti-Federalist and Federalist Papers, which we also have on the website, and read what took place, when and where, and try to decipher what the intent of our Founding Fathers was. So those are just some ideas, and that's where I want to take this. Now, we have the foundational study as a basis for anybody who comes in new to NLA. It's also good as a rehash for people who have taken a course, civics course, back in 2014 or 15 and want to brush up on what they learned back then. They can take the foundational study that's found under the members tab, six parts to it. It's easy reading, and it gives you a little historical heritage and all that kind of stuff about the Founding Fathers. It's a good rehash. It's not complicated. There's no test involved or anything like that. And it's just something that we put together to help new people. I got some dogs in the background. They're driving me crazy here. I think they're chasing a coon. Bear with me on that background noise. Anyway, we're trying to lay a foundation. Just like a house, when you build a house, you have to have a foundation. And if you don't have a foundation, you're building on a house of sand, basically, and you're not going to understand how everything develops. So we have a foundational study. It's easy. It's six parts to it. It takes you slow through the course. Once you get finished with that, or while you're finishing that, you can take the government by consent course. John goes into great detail trying to explain everything. And the new Constitution course within that course, Chapter 7, will be coming out soon. So you'll get a real good basis in detail on the Constitution. I think he said the introduction on that is 14 pages alone. So it's going to be a real, real good study for everybody. And so I think what needs to take place as far as getting the word out, John, it would be helpful because of the way the government by consent was originally introduced back in April of 2018 and didn't actually get posted until November of 2018. I think it would behoove you and Gerard to go back on UR Free TV and the other programs and say, it's now available. We're sorry that it wasn't available back then. It's available now, and promote it that way. It would also behoove management to put out a email asking for anybody with experience in website design and with experience in marketing because we need to market this product. We have products that we're selling here or trying to get out there to the people, and we come from different backgrounds, and marketing is an actual career that people pursue for a degree. Some of us are electrical engineers, and some of us are architects, and some of us are plumbers, and some of us are truck drivers. But marketing is a specific field, and they market products very well, and they get to markets. They get us looking at products that we are interested in, and that's how the people make money all over the Internet, is to get you to look at something and then look at something else that's related. Everything is related to everything else, and we have to be aware of that so we can get our message out that is related to everything else out there. And what we're trying to teach here is related to everything out there, political and within the courts. So that's the message that we're trying to get out. Everything is related to everything, and everybody needs to know what the basic document says, and they need to understand it. And that's basically all we have here.
Ron, maybe you can give everyone the information they need to contact you to become part of that welcoming committee. And if you need to, you can always contact Jan. But you want to give them some information?
They can reach me by email. That's the best way to reach me, ron@nationallibertyalliance.org. And just put in the subject your state, your county, and your name. And I'll be able to find you in the records, and I'll be able to recontact you. We need a lot of volunteers. We've got about, 10, 11, maybe 13 people that are involved, but we could use twice that or three times that. We have a lot of people to contact and get the word out, get this message out.
Yeah, and even if you can work inside that committee for, an hour a week or 2 hours a week, that's sufficient too. You know, look, if someone can make two or three calls, that's two or three calls more than we could have done before. So
that's right.
Everybody needs to do something. Okay, let me just make two other points. One thing I'd like to build upon the idea or the point that Ron just brought up a little while ago concerning the people in his county, the people that are active. You know, if everybody gets active in their county, and if you can get 10 people active in your county and bring them into National Liberty Alliance and get involved, take a position in one way or another, working a committee, becoming a jury administrator, running for committee man, or just being one of the people that have knowledge and support us financially and eventually maybe run for committee man at a later time. And all of us need to respond when we get the call to sit on a jury or a grand jury. And the people are not going to be abused then. You know, they need to be paid a decent amount of money per day that they're away from their job. They need to support their families, and they can't be taken away for months on end. Very special situations where that may happen on a big trial, but generally speaking, it shouldn't happen, especially with the grand juries. If everyone brought in 10 people, we've got over 3,200 counties. That's 32,000 people right there alone, okay? So that's one way to try to help build our force up to be able to get that critical mass that we so desperately need. We have to hit it at some point. And if we hit it at the time of opening, remember, we have to have, if we hit it at the right time and then the people flood in at that point, we have to be prepared to receive those people. We have to be prepared to enlighten and educate those people. And we have to be prepared to take the positions, even on a skeleton crew type way, in each one of these counties in order to start taking control of the people's business away from these judges. These judges do not belong in control of the people's business at all. This should be non-political, and there should be no connection to the government whatsoever. There will be a paycheck for that particular position. That is a full-time job, and it'll be a nice, decent paycheck and a very rewarding job, because those four individuals, they become the investigative body for the grand jury. They get out there and really, shake things up. They make sure that the people have access to their grand jury. So anyway, that's one thing. The other thing is, I didn't cover too much on this, and I don't want to get into this conversation on this part tonight, but I do want to just bring a little bit up about it. And Jan, maybe we can set another meeting maybe next week for all the people involved that want to get involved with this, and that is joining cases. We are going to add a lot of cases to this one case. I mean, like I said, we have over 100 papers we've already filed. We've done numerous habeas corpuses, and we've already indicted these judges. We just haven't filed that indictment yet. But we need to file those indictments on all those judges that have ignored these habeas corpuses, who think that they can get away with ignoring the right of the people to habeas corpus. We also have a lot of judges that we've indicted already for nonjudicial foreclosures who have not obeyed the law. We have warned them. We have told them beforehand, before they broke the law, we told them. And they decided to break the law anyway because the people aren't watching. They're not afraid of the people, you know. When we have government, when the people fear the government, you have tyranny. Everybody knows this. And when the government fears the people, that's when we'll have liberty. But they don't fear you. They beat us up in courts. They send us to jail. They fine us. They do all these terrible things. And they don't care because they are above the law and nobody touching them. Why? Because we're ignorant. You know, it's going back to the same thing. Every problem goes back to the people. It's our fault. It's our fault for not taking control of our destiny, of not doing the right thing, of not stepping up. Okay, yeah, before, you know, we were, bamboozled, we were lied to, and they hid our education from us, but not no more. National Liberty Alliance has got it up there. There's other places have a lot of good truth up there. There is no more excuse. The only thing left is laziness or figuring the other guy is going to do it. And I want to tell you, the other guy isn't doing it. You got to do it. Forget the other guy. You're the guy. Okay, anyway, we're adding all these cases into our case. We've got habeas corpuses, the judges that we're going to file every habeas corpus in there. We're going to go look to get justice for all these people that we filed habeas corpus. We're going to demand justice, demand to be released immediately, okay? And we're going to put these indictments in, and we're going to deliver them to Barr, Attorney General Barr. We have at least one clerk, maybe two, that we've indicted. We're going to deliver that. We're going to expect this to be taken care of. We've given them an indictment. We've got at least 12 judges that we've already indicted. We expect them to be brought into the court and dealt with, okay? And we want them in a just court. We want them in our courts, the people's courts. We don't want them in any government court, government control. We have, numerous judicial foreclosures, but anybody who has any kind of a case and they're really being railroaded, they're not getting their due process and they're being ignored, they're being beat up, they're being abused, we want to talk to you, and we'll give you a very simple paper to fill out, okay, just fill a few places in order to join, to become what's called, it's called a joinder, J-O-I-N-D-E-R, to join our case. And we will push for justice in that case, in every case we get. And by the way, you know, doing this is going to create more work in my level, okay, so I need lots of help. Now, there are a lot of people out there that got some decent education and a good amount of understanding of a lot of things. They may have a few quirks here or there, problems that need to be straightened out, you know, the sandbox problem. Forget going into their sandbox. I'm not going into their sandbox. You go into their sandbox, you're acknowledging them with the power and the authority that they have taken. You're acknowledging that. You're allowing it to happen. And you think you're going to click your heels and escape while all the other poor suckers are going to go get lost in that system and never get out of it. And you think you're going to get out of it. You're not going to get out of it. You'll only click your heels and end up in jail because that's the end results that they have in view for you, anybody who is a patriot and trying to fight this thing. What they're talking about is true. It is true. You know, they have created a nation within a city within a city. They have done that. And they've built upon that a prison. And we, the people, have lost our ability to have any control over our government whatsoever. We have no control. Okay? We need to take it back. And again, we're not going to take it back unless we're educated. We have to roll up our sleeves and get the job done. And this is exciting stuff, you know. I've been in courses, they bored me to tears and never even finished most of them. You know, I've done a Constitution course, bored me to tears, never finished it, okay. I'd rather take the Constitution myself and sit down and work with it and dig back in history. And we put that together, and it is exciting looking at what our founding fathers have done, the words of our founding fathers, and the things that they put together for us and how it works, okay. So, again, anybody that wants to join our case, okay, go out there, fill the form out. It's at National Liberty Alliance. You have to highlight the members tab, And if you don't see the members tab, it's either because you're not a member or for some reason you're not signed in. People should sign in every time they come out because that members tab is not seen by the general public. But down there is the court forms, and you come down to the court forms, you click on that, and on that page you will see it says instructions to join your case to the grand jury action. And so anybody wants to do that, go out, fill the form. Eventually you make contact with Jim. I don't know if Jim's here. If you are, pop in on the mic for a second, but let me know that you're here. Maybe you could talk a little bit. But Jim is handling, James is handling the all of the incoming cases. But we made it very simple. It's only a matter of filling out. We've created a petition for people to petition the grand jury with to bring their case in. And it's only a few things that you got to fill in, get it into us. It's got to be notarized, get into us, and then we will send the papers necessary that has to be filed with the court and with all the players that are involved in that court case. If the court case is come and gone and is done with, you can still file your case and we'll file it with the judge. We're going to chase them all. And every judge that refuses to give the people due process, refuses to acknowledge the Constitution and the unalienable rights of we the people, will meet us, we will meet those people with an indictment. And we will follow it up with Mr. Barr, and we will pressure him to go forward and let's get this taken care of. This is the people's business. And again, we have some very unique ways and things we're going to say in this paper and the way we're bringing this together. It cannot be, there is no argument to it. And remember, we're coming in with a settled case. The jury's out and they're back now. We're going forward. The indictments are there. The requirement of due process in these cases are there. Cease and desist on the cases that have ignored us. On the cases that haven't, we'll give them X amount of days to respond and give due process, or then they default and they need to cease and desist, and if they refuse to, we'll meet them with more indictments. And that's the way we're going to take care of this problem. And again, you know, all these cases beforehand were necessary. It's all part of the plan. We didn't know exactly how we were going to write this paper and how we were going to approach it at the end when this is it. This is the end game. But we do now. We didn't have the knowledge before. We accumulated that knowledge over time. We learned the things. We understand how it works and how we can bring these extraordinary actions together. And it's truly a revolution. It's truly a new beginning. But again, people got to do it. You can't hire someone to do this. You have to do it. Okay, so I don't want to talk too much about that. Jan, think of a date. If you want to pop one up now, that's fine, and we'll meet, or we'll think about it, and we'll get the word out to everybody for the discussion of the cases. But from this point until that time, start filling out the form out there on National Liberty Alliance if you want to join your case. Okay, let's see. What other is James here? Jim, you here? You see James out there? Star 6, James, if you're here.
No, I didn't.
Okay. I'm surprised he's not here. He's pretty active. Okay, well, anyway.
Yep.
James.
You're across.
Huh?
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, James,
hello?
Is that you? Yeah, exactly.
No, it's not James.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it sounds like him. Go ahead, Jim.
Hello.
You here?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I haven't discussed the details with you on the papers and the forms, but you can go out and see the form, and I'm working on the paper now for the people to use as a petition to the grand jury to join their case. And maybe you want to talk to people, see if you can get some volunteers, give your contact information, tell them a little bit of what you've been doing, and we do want to get back into habeas corpuses, lots of habeas corpuses. But go ahead, Jim. What can you tell us?
Okay, well, just run that writ of mandamus that you sent me down the other day. That's to join all the cases. I'm just running this, just getting this together in my head here. So the one you sent the other day is to is for everybody to join?
No. That I sent, I'm trying to remember, that writ of mandamus might have been for something else, and I really don't remember what it was. But no, I haven't finished the papers yet, what's called a petition. It's a petition from the people in a particular stuck in a case, whether they could be defendant or they can be the plaintiff, it doesn't matter. And they can fill out a petition and join us. We will have to interview them. There may be certain cases we may not take on, at least not now. But I can't think of any that we wouldn't take on, but I have to say that possibility is there. But even if the possibility is there for those cases that we may not take on now, doesn't mean we're not going to take them on, because we will take on every case. Because the people need to get their due process. But as far as working the paperwork, talking to people, and getting things done, what you need help and so on and so forth, you definitely need a partner. I think you had a partner right now, aren't you?
Well, I had a partner, but
yeah.
She kind of dropped off, and she's there, but she's just having medical issues, so it's not
right.
Really that I can count on her.
So you need at least one partner and hopefully maybe a couple other people to work with you with the things that you're going to be doing. And again, we're getting back to habeas corpus. We're going to do something. We're going to do a special paper going into courts for the non-judicial foreclosures that's going to be far more powerful than what we had before. And we're going to do quick indictments on this. They either are obedient to this and respond, or we're going to come together and look for an indictment and file indictments. But go ahead.
Yeah, I understand that, and I also want to concentrate on these CPS cases, because Ron is talking that most of the people that join are ones that have had their property stolen from them, a.k.a. their children, or their property as in their houses and foreclosures, or the property of what do they call that, where you get money when your parents die or something, when they put their parents in under the state's care and they take all their money, And this is all
APS.
Still unlawful property.
What'd you say, Jan?
APS, Adult
Protective
Services.
Yeah. Adult Protective Services,
so,
and there's no way courts, but go ahead.
Yeah, so, and they're all in these unlawful courts, so we need to... I got a car running by here because I ran outside. So I would like to concentrate on them, but we can tell the people that when they want to join, that the expectation of something right away is something that they shouldn't be thinking about, because every time that we've done it in before, they dig in. But if we're going to do this habeas corpus and indictment and stuff like that, then after a while, we'll win them over, because we'll just have a massive amount of legal stuff against them, and we should do it, spot quick. I don't have a problem with that. We get this paperwork made up. I can do it, and especially if I get a couple of volunteers. But they all have to be trained and. And you know how the habeas corpus is.
May be able to. A lot of people will be able to handle the simple paperwork, at least in the beginning, anyway. And it's going to be very simple for people to join their case with ours. Is very simple process. It's not going to be a lot of work to it. And there's very, each paper is almost identical with the difference of really
right.
names,
right.
addresses. That's about it.
Okay, so.
Because it's all about due process ultimately.
Yeah, so that's basically it.
Oh, sorry.
So we can just everybody that comes to us should at least join their case with ours,
mm-hmm.
And then if they want to pursue it even further, then we can do the big time CPS habeas corpus thing,
All right, give people
and,
your contact information that they can contact you to work with you and join that committee work.
Well, it's simple. I mean, anything that they want to get a hold of me on, they just can send it to either Jim at National Liberty Alliance or Intake at National Liberty Alliance. I get both of those emails. And,
okay.
So that would, then I call them up and we discuss what it is there, that is in their realm of doing. And then we'll, whether it be joining the case or doing a CPS habeas corpus or an APS habeas corpus. We need to get on this. Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
I'm chomping at the bit. And and of course, you sent me that writ of mandamus, and I just need you to call me tomorrow on that. I've been trying to get a hold of you all day, but I know you're a busy guy.
Well, unfortunately, I planned to be in front of my computer all day today, but it just didn't happen. Got pulled this direction, that direction, and then pulled again to another direction. So, but I should be around most of the day tomorrow. We'll talk. All right, anything else you want to add, or are you pretty much there?
No, that's about it, you know.
Okay.
And John,
all right, before we go to other people bringing things up, go ahead, Jan.
I've been asked several times recently for a position description for state coordinators. I've never run across anything in writing that says what the duties of a state coordinator are. Can you kind of run through that for people?
Yeah, we do have something on site. I'll have to go take a look, and maybe we'll update it a little bit. But it's pretty simple, really. It's just organizing, making contact, communications, communicating with the county organizers, or maybe on a weekly basis or bi-monthly basis, making sure that things are active, you know, how many people have you been able to draw together, because the organizers need to be going out and organizing their county, getting people involved in their county. And if everybody in their county goes out and gets a couple of people, we can have 100,000 people in no time, just to begin with, just off the bat. That's something that we really got to focus in on that, and we'll work. I'll go out on site and see what we have there, and maybe we'll write something up and make it a little more obvious on where it's at, and we'll bring it up in on our Monday night meeting. Are there any other committees here with us, Jan, that might want to speak before we open it up to anyone?
Well, yeah, I had some more comments I'd like to make. Right now, we have 6 states that do not even have a state coordinator. And those are first Alaska, Delaware, Kansas, Maine, Oklahoma, and unfortunately Texas, which has 497 members, the same as New York, which has 497 members, does not have a state coordinator. So if any of you people on the call tonight are from these states and would like to volunteer to be a state coordinator, and we'll get you a position description so you'll know what you're required to do, please contact Jan at nationallibertyalliance.org, and we'll be happy to put your name up there as the state coordinator. Now, our bare bones drop dead, got to have at minimum grand jury administrators is about 12,550. We've had very slow sign-ups. We're, over 1,000. We've been over 1,000 for a long time. We're up to 1,062 people signed up. And we have 2 basic requirements for a grand jury administrator. Start with civics course and the government by consent course. Only 330 of these people that have signed up of the 1,062 have actually signed up and are working on the civics course. Now, we've had 273 people sign up for the government by consent course, and not all of those signed up to be grand jury administrators. Some people just want to take the course for information. And there are only 34 of those 273 people that are actually working on the course at this time. So that's, like 10%. So we need to get these people stirred up and get them working on these, okay, because we can't count on our 1,062 until we get them through the course.
Now, Ron has a plan for that, I think, and that's where people who want to get involved working with that would get in hold of Ron.
Yep. And we have been working on a letter that can be sent out to people, it might even be just local businesses, people that are financially capable of sending some larger chunks of money to NLA. That could be a little research on the web to find out what groups support liberty groups or educational groups, and send this letter to them. And
we should create that letter with the ability to change the amount asking, we're asking for some people who are capable and have already given that kind of big money to other people that maybe they'll give it to us. But maybe there are small businesses that will give a lot less, you know, so we got to work, be careful with that number, that we don't go ask someone for a large number. That's ridiculous.
We just indicated the amount that we thought we would need maximum, and we didn't expect to get that all from one individual. There was nothing in it that stated that you have to contribute that entire amount. Okay, it's up to them to decide what they'd like to give us, if they have anything.
Okay, so then we got to be a little more specific on that letter, on what that number means. So let's look at that letter.
Probably okay, but we need to finish that up and get it available to people so we can start getting that out. It'll never produce anything until it goes out to the public.
Mm-hmm.
Monday night calls. We're having an awful time with Monday night calls. We get people. I used to get emails the next day or during the call. But people, you know, they get in the queue, they can't get on, so on, so on. Well, they got on this course or this case that they've heard 10 times before, and they just hung up and went away. And watching, like, last night on the call, the numbers dropped in half by the time we got through with the 2 half-hour call sessions. These people come in, and this is supposed to be a Q&A, but they don't want a Q&A. They want to talk, and they want to talk about everything in their case, and we need to come up with some technique.
I think what we'll do with that, Jan, maybe, is maybe we, anybody that has a case that they want to discuss, maybe we should have another day to meet for that purpose. So we can get
to the
people.
Many days a week, you know.
Huh?
There's only so many days a week, and they're getting filled up again.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, but, again, you don't necessarily have to be there if you can't, but maybe at least if I'm there, Gerard's there. But the key thing with cases, I really don't want to discuss people's cases, and I don't want to insult them, but people don't understand that we don't need to know everything detailed about their case. We don't need to know all the wrongs that they've been done to, that's been done to them. We just need to know that they have a problem, they're not getting due process, and that's where we're going to deal with it. And everything gets backed out to that. I just wish, you know, we can get that out without having to go through talking with a lot of cases and getting into too many details. But we'll try to fix that problem. I'm going to think about how we can handle that without insulting the people, and hopefully they'll and people, it's hard for people to understand. Look at the whole case. If you're not getting due process, shut down the case. That's it. That's what we're looking to do. We want the federal court to shut down that case. And they'll never give you due process because they can't. But
I think
in any event,
it would be extremely helpful, John, if we had a time limit. So, because these people, they need some time once you start talking and giving them answers to go away, think about it. So if we gave them like 5 to 10 minutes to ask a question, you give them an answer and they could go back and get in the line again. That way we could cycle through a lot more people and everybody could have a chance at it.
Well, that's a good idea, and I can give them a generic answer, you know, really focusing in on due process. And then not only can they get back in, but they can also make the call, fill out the paperwork, and get it to Jim and get communicating with Jim, and let's get their case joined. You know, we can give people ideas on, and that's why I put some paperwork up there. But again, I think what we have to do is stop getting into the details of people's cases. We just need to know the general idea of the case, and that's it. And then we can give them the answer, send them to the paperwork to take care of their own work if they want, or join the case with us. And we do have the paperwork that's going to be, probably all of it will be up by Monday, I hope. How to move your case into a federal court is what I have to get up there yet. We already have a challenging jurisdiction. And those are the two main things that you can do to get your case resolved and get out of the system, you know?
And the kind of the problem is that we get a piece of the information, then as time goes on, we get some more, like the person who got on was dealing with his mother and sister, or the gal and her brother, and then we find out about a half an hour later that, well, there's really two sisters, and then another 15 minutes later there's another sister, so we can't kind of get it all tied together very easily.
And again, we don't need the details. And again, we don't need the details. It's all about due process. You're not getting it.
Can somebody hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, Sorry. Yeah, so let me know when I can talk.
It's going to open up for other people to talk in a minute. Just want to finish off with the leadership talking, and then we'll let anyone talk. Meanwhile, everyone else, please mute yourself until it's time. Star 6 to mute yourself, and when you're ready, you can unmute yourself to talk. And when you're not talking, please mute yourself because we get a lot of background noise. Okay, Jen, go ahead, finish up.
Well, that's about all I had to say. We need to do something because we lost half of the readers there, our listeners, over the hour that we spent on those two cases. And this happens every week. We get on a call. They start going down. They start falling off and falling away. And then it's kind of too bad they get on the call and then they kind of have heard it before or whatever, and they just fall away. A lot of them don't come back.
What I'll do is I'll figure out, right before we start, when we're starting to take on callers, to do an open forum, I'll make that point that, if anybody wants to talk about a case, we only need the general information. We don't need the details. We'll give you some thoughts and ideas, show you where the paperwork is, and give you the opportunity also to move it and join it with us if that's what you want to do. Maybe they want to try to run the paperwork first, and then if that fails, come to us, and that'll empower their case ultimately, because then we can show the fact that they totally ignored these people when they challenged jurisdiction and they ignored it and they don't have it. Or when they were looking for other, their due process and wasn't getting it. So, okay. So if we have no other leadership to talk, do we have any other leadership?
Not that I know of.
Okay. All right. So we'll take that next try to talk for a while. Go ahead, Terry.
Oh, we got Terry.
First. Go ahead, Terry.
Okay, I'm sorry. I missed the internal about 30 minutes because I had to go to a meeting. But I would like to say we went from 70 people on this call Monday night until 35, and I detect in you a real sincere desire to help everybody and be as nice as you can, John. And so I appreciate you for that. I would like to know if you want me to start showing you the circular type speeches that you get into, if you'd like me to kind of cue that up so that you can kind of see it happening. Would that help you on nights like this last night?
I don't understand what you're saying.
Do you remember when I talked to you about the circle, that you get on one thing, it'd lead to another, and lead to another, and lead to another?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a flaw in my being here.
Well, I think I can help, and I'd like to try it if it's okay with you.
Well, here's the problem. First of all, we get too involved in the details of the case. That's what we have to stop doing. We don't need to know who's really involved or the injury that they had. I mean, we just need to know the generics of the case, and then we can give the solution. But sometimes when I go into that circling, I start to get off point and go through things and then come back around. I always come back around, and there's a reason for me taking that circle. It's really trying to build a knowledge base for the individual who would be involved in that, or anybody, a lot of people, but building that knowledge base that they need to bring them back into that circle to get to the main, to the final point.
And I understand that. The problem is that it gets to the point where they've been on 5, 6, 7, 10 subjects.
Why don't we do this? I think I understand the problem. I think I might be able to have a solution for that problem. Let's see how next Monday night goes, and if we still have that problem, we'll have to get together and talk about it, figure out what we can do.
All right. Well, anything I can do, let me know. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it.
John?
John?
Yes, go ahead, Veronica.
Oh, okay. You recognize my voice. Thank you.
Yep.
Wanting to, you talking about, I hear Terry talking about circles. I want to take you off on a tangent here.
Not too long, though, because we want to stay on point of bringing people into becoming involved.
Well, this will. This will.
Okay.
This will, because what this is going to do is take you to a larger circle that is in court, that includes what you're talking about when you're talking about Article 17, but the 17th Amendment. And you were talking about that early on.
Mm-hmm.
The 17th Amendment, and as you kind of alluded to, but you did not specifically say, that 17th Amendment did away, or actually it was a breach of Article 1, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so
it also violates Article, I think it's Article 5, where they have to have a vote. Oh, no, Article
correct.
6, I think.
Correct. But what it also did, and I want to bring this to your attention because I've never heard you mention it, and yet you're going to see that it's actually part of the breach of contract and what it actually did to the Bill of Rights, because what that did was essentially gutted the 10th Amendment. It gutted the 10th Amendment because it took the powers away from the state and the people therein who had directly elected their representatives to Congress and put them in the Senate. Okay?
And it also injured Article 5. That was the one I was looking for, where equal suffrage is given to the Senate. And so it damaged that. But it upset the entire balance of power. You see, the balance
exactly.
of power is between the states, the people, but the federal government is only to act within the criteria of that which we have told them that they can, and their power cannot exceed that.
Correct.
Okay.
And there's another issue with the breach of contract, because they also breached Article 1, Section 10 of the U.S. Constitution. When they took the silver out of the coin, these senators are being paid with a coin that is foreign. Actually, all legislators are being paid with a coin that is foreign to the jurisdiction they swore an oath of office to uphold and defend,
right.
And they have breached the contract.
Right, but therein is ignorance. I mean, we could build on this case. I don't want to spend too much time on it.
Oh, no, here where I'm going with this, and then I'll finish, okay? And I'm where I'm going with this is, since the beginning of time, when Adam and Eve were put in that garden, there was only one stipulation to the contract, and they breached it, okay? So all law is contractual, and they have breached their contract with us because our ancestors came to this country, and what they did is they bargained their full faith and credit for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And since silver was taken out of the coin, we have had zoning ordinances and this and that and the other thing put on us. So there has been a total breach of contract. We have become an occupied nation by an occupying power who uses a coin that is foreign to the jurisdiction that our legislators are being paid to, you know. Anyway, that's where I wanted to go with it, and I will yield. Thank you, John.
Good. Appreciate that. And I would like to say something about a contract real quick. You know, it is true, you know, our government runs on contracts. There are, you know, 54 or 57, goodness, I don't know why I keep getting that number mixed up. Let me think a minute. I think it's 54. There are 54 United States codes, okay, titles, and each one of them deals with statutes, codes, and regulations. And when an individual is empowered by the Constitution, by getting elected or appointed or being hired in one way or another, okay, they do become part of a contract that they have to obey, and that contract brings them into those statutes. Now, that's the contract between that and the individuals that are coming in. There's also contracts, commercial contracts, okay? And there's a lot of rules in the, you know, commercial between the states and between other nations and so on and so forth. But ultimately, on the pinnacle end, we the people don't deal with the contract because we're free of contract. We ordained and established the law of the land, and we are the executor and prosecutor of that law. We need to understand that. That's our power. And so for us, it is the law that they are under and applied to. Because we've got to be very careful not to call the Constitution a contract, because the Constitution is not a contract, but in some way it is a contract between the people who are elected and also the U.S. title that they fall under because they have an agreement, and so because they have given extra power more than other people, they have a certain amount of power that we've given them. There's a certain requirement of obedience and certain penalties that must be suffered should they
Absolutely.
Abuse that power. So
absolutely, that's the point that I was trying to make. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, there was another lady who was trying to speak, if she wants to pipe in before.
I know I heard next Wednesday night, John, at 8, a week from Wednesday, for the next meeting. We had a conflict
okay.
with Tuesday nights.
Okay, that will be meeting for anybody who wants to join, and join their case. Anybody
right.
who wants to join their case, we're gonna meet. And as we go forward, maybe we'll have a meeting once every couple of weeks or once a month or whenever it's necessary, we'll call a meeting and we'll have a meeting and we'll try to do it on a Wednesday night at 8 o'clock, you say?
Right.
Okay, that's what we'll try to do. That meeting. Okay, so we will, for anybody that wants to get into discussions concerning joining the case, we will have a meeting next Wednesday. Jan will get the message out, the email out. We'll have a meeting next Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here in this room. But between now and then, go fill out the form, get the process going. Now, the lady that's trying to speak, I think she's calling in from 970. Go ahead.
Yes, that's me. Okay, can you hear me?
Hear you.
Yes. So I've been an advocate for families and individuals that have been wronged by the courts for the last 7 years, I guess. And
mm-hmm.
there's such a great need, as we can tell, that there's a crisis with the corrupt, lawless courts. And in that, we know that they're not courts
of law. So you're talking mostly about family court, that kind of thing?
Yeah, family and CPS, correct. All
right.
of that. I don't know if you understand that the Title IV-D federal monies are tax dollars supporting that corruption. That is a trail, and it's very clear that I think because it's so corrupt that I think this is great what you're all doing. And I think if we can kind of partner, because I think this is a crisis with the family, you're getting inundated with the cases. People are losing their children, and we can do all the paperwork, but they're violating due process, they're violating Fourth Amendment, and this is void judgments. The question is, who's enforcing these cases? Who's going to enforce
well,
them since the
well,
sheriffs
let me,
are
let,
not constitutional?
Yeah, let me first ask you, are you interested in taking a chair position for doing working with us on that?
Yes. I'm going to contact
okay.
Jim. I'm going to contact Ron. I'm going to contact you, Beth. I don't
okay,
want to take up people's
Jan
time.
Particularly because we need to build a committee around that. We did this a while back, but we just didn't have the manpower and the ability, you know, the time and to do all the paperwork. And we kind of did some, but we couldn't take it on no more. But I'd like to get back into it. Look, when we get into power, one of the things we have to do is shut down that family court. Family court is the most destructive court in our nation. They destroy
uh-huh.
families, they destroy fathers, they destroy the relationship between children and their fathers, and to some degree their mothers also. They create more of a breach between the mother and the father than anybody else. They do not bring peace, they don't counsel these people, they don't assist these people, they give everyone a lawyer, and the bar attorneys go into their insanity of statutes, and it just goes on and on and on, and these children are suffering, and the parents are
yep.
suffering, and everyone's suffering. That's got to go. That's got to go.
Right.
And I have a plan for that, at least a part of a plan or a framework of a plan. But ultimately, that needs to be run by the people. There need to be people who are not lawyers, who are not judges, who have an interest
right.
in helping people, who have an interest in counseling, maybe have a counseling background. And these people
mm-hmm.
need to be brought into the court to sit down, to talk to these people, and work these problems out lawfully. And with compassion, understanding there are children involved and they need to have a relationship with both parents, and we have to solve whatever the problem is that's going on. And if it's a splitting up thing, then that's fine, but we need to bring these people together to understand, for the sake of the children, you guys need to work your problems out, and you don't need to be doing it in front of the children. So we need to create something there. But the family court has been a disaster. It's destructive. And it's all become a money game. It's all about money.
Well, so I already have a remedy for this. And it ties into what you're doing, and I think if I could share more off of this call, we might be able to do something, because I think it's the catalyst to launch the information and where people want to know more about NLA, but also how to address this on a national level, because it is a crisis, and they're getting away with what they're doing, and we do need to address it with paper and the legal piece of it. But if
do you think you could write a paper on how we on the structure of how we might go forward with something like this?
I already have it in place. In fact, the oversight committee.
Why don't you get that paper and make sure it's in good shape? Get it to Jan. Let the national leadership take a look at it. I'll take a look at it, and then we'll have a private meeting. And then anyone that wants to attend that meeting will be welcome. We'll put the word out, but we're expecting the people that come to attend that particular meeting would be people who might be interested in participating, not just listening. We want people to get involved. And again, even if it's only an hour a week, okay. And so let's structure a committee. Let's form a plan. Let's agree upon an idea and a plan. Let's make sure it works, it's lawful, and it's compassionate, and it's sensible and logical and workable. And if we can all come to an agreement on that, then we can execute it. But we definitely got to get rid of family courts. They got to go.
They do. They absolutely do. I did want to ask, though, are you working with the Oath Keepers? Are you...
I was working with the Oath Keepers, and we had some people who were trying to get us to make a connection with them. The individual that was our friend, and I was involved with him with other things over the years, and he passed away a little while back, and so our main connection in is kind of cut, but we have other access. I've had connections with some down in the New York City, too. The problem with the Oath Keepers is that the founder is a lawyer. And that lawyer disagrees with a lot of our positions, or maybe he doesn't understand our positions is what it is. It's not that he may disagree.
No, it's
but
going against his guild, and so he doesn't want to.
So his mindset is different than ours. But if we can possibly get a meeting with him, I'm trying to think of his name. I forget his name. But if we can get a meeting with him and have a conversation to him to understand what we're doing, maybe we can give him another way to look at things and realize that, he's been really supporting as a minion to the New World Order by participating in that bar activity.
Stuart Rhodes.
Stuart, yes, that's it, Rhodes. All right, look, let's get together and then let's talk about this. And then once we formulate a game plan and maybe get a couple, one or two or more people working with you, everybody needs at least one partner. But I'd like to see a small committee brought together. Then we'll take it on a Monday night, and we'll introduce it to the people, and we'll talk about it. And then you will get committee meetings as you think necessary, and you'll have the opportunity to address the entire membership on a Monday night, maybe asking for more help, making a point, or whatever, you know. Well, we'll work with that. We'll make a plan, okay?
Great.
Yes.
Okay, so talk to
Annie. Could we get the name and state of that lady, please?
Jan in Colorado.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else?
Wait a minute. What part? What part of Colorado?
Fort Collins.
Okay. Ollie's in Fort Collins, and I'm in Longmont. So we got a potential of doing, having face-to-face and talking about this, too. So let me know. Jan will give you the number.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Hi.
Okay,
thank John.
Anybody else want to pipe in something?
John?
I heard another lady's voice.
Cynthia.
Oh, Cynthia, how are you doing, Cynthia? From Massachusetts?
Good, how are you? Yeah, I used to be. I fled. I'm temporarily in a different state, but, for now, because they just took everything, They cleaned, they stole my child and my home and...
Remember this, if you could dig up, and I'm sure you can, you got the information on those papers, we'll enjoin your case in. We'll open it back up. And
you got to be kidding me. That's one of my questions, because, I was fighting, I really thought the court you know, everything, the Constitution was working and everything. And I just got entrapped in family court for years, years. Actually, they called it probate court, which is scary, if you know what I mean. But I lost everything. And the bank, everything, it was security fraud, bankruptcy fraud, family court fraud, identity theft fraud, has a lot to do with the fake mortgage and, you know, all of that. And I do, I have documents. And just today, John, oh, my God, I'm so much better now. I mean, I was involved with NLA years ago, and I just couldn't. I was just being torn up, eaten alive on all different levels. So I couldn't really, you know, fully participate, but thank the Lord, because all this time the Lord has been raising me up in strength, and so I can articulate what happened to me. I can articulate on behalf of all these people who are entrapped in these situations, particularly family court and these fake foreclosure cases. And I just earlier today I was just looking at because what I was doing all those years, I was writing complaints everywhere, you know, to places that they were supposed to investigate, you know, based on the information that I gave them. And I, as far as I can tell, at least on the surface, they didn't. I'm hoping and praying there's something, you know, because all the information, they all have it, you know. And but I was looking at one complaint I filed to the Federal Housing, and I just outlined, oh, my God, I did signed affidavits. I had notarized affidavits, and this was so systemic, but it really, I really outlined all the systemic, I don't know what you want to call it. It's just so much incompetence and pranks, you know. And I, you know, I sat here and I said, oh, my God, I mean, how did I get through this? And it's the Lord got me through, you know. So I'll be happy to share anything. Huh?
Yeah, I was disconnected and I just got back in. But, you know, this is like the second or third time tonight I've been cut out. So.
Interesting. I have a couple. I love to talk to you. I'm trying to find a place within NLA. I mean, I've always seen NLA as a star, like a North Star, you know, to, you know, the go. I think it's really helpful for people to hear that this is a process. Is you're not going to get, you know, we all have to work together, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I 100%, I've always supported NLA. But, you know, like, for example, during the time when NLA was really getting involved with the Finnegan situation over there, and I 100% support it. I really did. But while they were fighting for their land, their property, I was fighting because somebody thinks they own my body. Somebody thinks they own my son's body, and somebody thinks they own my body. So, you know, it's like a whole, like, you know, I couldn't even get involved with that because it's like a resurrection of bond slavery going on. Mm-hmm. So anyway,
I don't want to spend too much time, but because there's other people and we've been on for a while. But look, get hold of Jan, and if you you know, if you want to get involved in some of the committees we got going, or if you want to get involved maybe with that other lady we had on with the CPS problems, or if you got a committee you want to create yourself, work it out with Jan, and he'll talk, and he'll meet with the national leadership, and they'll figure out, you know, how we can work things out and take it from there. But definitely,
I just have a couple of
court cases. But you could take your court case and join it with us, and we will do our best to do what we can to get
My question. That's my question. I ended up last year. I was in the appeal phase with the family court, and I was, like, going nuts. And I submitted tons of information, but I ended up quitting because there were, like, too many errors to cite that I couldn't fit it all in the requirements. There were just too many errors. And I talked to attorneys, and they wanted 20 grand or something. And some other attorney said, well, you know, you have to pick like two or three errors because the courts will get upset. So I just said, forget it. forget it, forget it. And I dropped everything. So with that in mind, John, that I just stopped all this crazy fighting, do you think, like, people like myself who have been fighting for years but just dropped it because there was just no remedy can still get on this thing?
Of course. Look, you can only take so much. You got to deal with your health. At some point, you just got to get away for a while. Understand that. And so look, there's nothing wrong with that. They're the ones that violated you. They're the ones that denied you due process.
Yes.
They're the one that kidnapped your child. They're the one that has stolen from you your life and destroyed your life and your family relationship, and they need to pay. And so absolutely, you can join us. And we're trying to keep it very simple, okay, on the one hand as far as being joined. And ultimately, we want to put out the order direct and seal and deal with every case involved, okay? They need to cease and desist and restore. Yeah. And we don't want to know nothing less than that.
Yeah.
And if they don't cease and desist and restore, then we will indict.
John, I believe in my heart. I was so into this writing and documenting and filing, and I do believe in my heart that, you know, putting this together, and it's going to help somebody. I'm convinced, because I understand how they did it and how, you know, I understand this whole, the racket and how they managed to do it. And so I'm praying, I'm standing in faith that this will help somebody.
Now look, if you think you can write a paper, okay, and it just, I'm not talking, I'll call it a legal brief, but forget the law. You know, it's righteousness, what's right and what's wrong. To write a paper concerning this that might assist our position in the court, because we do memorandums. I can turn that into a memorandum maybe, but it also we can use it for other purposes, because we need to write in detail what it is that we're doing so other people can join in on whatever it is that you or others are doing, you know?
Yes. Okay,
so
let's get that idea.
Let's get something going. Get a hold of Jan. Work out a connection with that other lady, and make your plan, your ideas, your thoughts. Let's get a meeting going. We'll start off with private meetings, but we'll always invite others who might be interested in coming. Anybody can come, but if they're going to come to that call, they should try to get involved.
Yeah. Okay. Now, is there statute of limitations on jurisdiction issues?
There are no statutes in common law. Common law is less open. You could bring a case up 50 years old. It doesn't matter. The question is, is the evidence is still viable? Can it be proven?
Right.
And if you could pull enough witnesses and evidence into a court and make your case and prove it, you got it.
Okay. Well, I have another question about the habeas corpus. What do you think about doing one on behalf of we the people?
Good idea. We're coming in almost like the Declaration of Independence. That's how we're coming in from that kind of
perspective. I like that. That's great.
We'll connect throughout the week, okay?
Okay, that sounds good. All right, God bless. Thank you.
All right, thank you. You too. Okay, anybody else want to pipe in?
Yes, this is John in California. Can you hear me?
Go right ahead, John. Yep.
Yes, I'm and I'm in California, and this state is really going downhill quickly in a terrible basket. And so I do want to be involved, but I don't know how to get involved. I'm not through the course yet, but I would like to be involved in whatever I can. And I would be interested in participating in that lady with the family court. I would like to be involved in that.
Okay, get a hold of Jan. His email is jan@nationallibertyalliance.org. His phone number is up on the directory. He's the national leader for National Liberty Alliance. So you can get his phone number, and that's his email. And we'll connect you in with the other two ladies and create a nice committee.
Okay, because I have been getting emails from Jan, so I just now reply back to that, and that's how I do it?
Well, no. Write an email tomorrow to Jan or give him a phone call. Call him up. His number's out under the directory, okay? If you go out to nationallibertyalliance.org, highlight directly or click on directory, Once you click on directory, your best bet is highlight directory, come down, and why is that two different pages, Jan? And come down, no, it's the same page. Did they change the layout of this page, Jan? On the directory?
I don't think so. I think it's the same. It's always been.
Well, I don't see, maybe it's site contacts. Let me try that.
Yeah, you scan down a little ways, and it's there.
Okay, I look at the state, find your state, county organizer, unified, blah, blah, blah. You got the numbers. I don't see anything, Jan.
Okay, just go to the directory. There it is on the first page, but not about two paragraphs.
Oh, you know what? I'm not signed in. When I got disconnected before.
Yeah, the boss can't see the mail. Yep.
Yeah.
I see the phone number for the national coordinator, and I see the email address, and it says one that I received from you. It's the address that I received information from you and found out about tonight's meeting.
Okay.
Okay, let me just log in to see.
Well, a question
they
that
don't
I have
recognize
is,
my username, Jan.
They don't, huh?
No.
Well, we've been having troubles. I couldn't get on for a while today, and somebody else emailed me. They couldn't get on. So there's something going on with the website.
I have another question about, this is John in California. What is this rumor that I hear that states are presidential candidates like Trump to be on the ballot because they're prohibiting it? Is that legal? Is that something the Constitution would allow?
No, I don't think they can lawfully get away with it. They're not going to get away with that. I know what they're trying to do that, but they're not going to happen.
And also with the Electoral College, that they're promising that they will only vote, the states will only vote if you have a popular vote. Well, that's not the Electoral College idea at all.
Well, they can get all the signatures they want for something like that. But the Constitution is clear on the president is elected. They're going to want to try to connect and change the Constitution, and that's what they're going to have to do. And I know they're not going to be able to do that with this president. And remember,
right,
to make a change, you got to get two-thirds, and they can't get two-thirds of anything together anywhere. So, but I wouldn't worry too much about it. But the shame is that people who appear, that are elected people, who appear to be our leaders, and yet they're talking like this, it's anti-constitutional. I'll bet you dollars to donuts if you address these people and ask them, well, okay, you want to do that. What's wrong with the other plan? How did that work, and how did you figure that doesn't work very well? And they would be dumbstruck. They wouldn't have anything to say because they don't understand, or they never looked into it. They don't know the reason, the purpose, and how it really works. And by the way, our constitutional course covers that very clearly. Okay, so let us move on to see if there's anyone else.
Okay, thank you.
But again, get in touch with Jan. I'm at the directory now, and I'm back in, so I can see now his name is right up on the top, national coordinator. His phone number, give him a call, and let's work it out. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you, John. All right, anybody else want to pipe in? We're going to be closing down in a short. Anybody else want to pipe in?
Hey, John. This is Jefferson in Missouri.
How you doing, Jeff?
Doing pretty good. You had a great idea earlier. When it comes to the Monday night calls, I've been listening for about 5 years now, and it seems like we have the same people every week over and over and over talking about their cases. They're not asking you questions. They're just going on and on and on. And
right, we're gonna shorten that up.
If you have people, if you have a time limit, that's one thing. But they're not. Doesn't seem like they're educated enough into the common law to be, you know, carrying on like they are, because they're not going anywhere with it.
Right.
And it's probably keeping people from that are actually wanting to join, and people that are new from asking questions. Because I drop off every week when I hear this over and over again.
Right. No, I agree with you. Well, I'm going to try something new. I'm going to make the point, as soon as they start talking about a case that we can't get into the details, give me the generic picture, you know, in as few words, maybe 2 minutes or so, and I'll give you some ideas that you can do. And, of course, the key thing, if you don't know what you're doing, why don't you just join our case? Just join it in, you know?
Right.
So I'll shorten that up and try to focus towards the you know, questions and comments concerning, you know, what we're doing, how we're doing, different things we're doing, what else can we do, and also corrections and also maybe a discussion on the topics that we chose to start off the evening with, you know?
Well, that would be fantastic, but you had already mentioned that if you had a different call just for those people with their cases, it would be fantastic because it would free up
time
for everybody else to ask legitimate questions about common law, because we're not getting asked those questions. These people are talking for an hour.
Yeah, we'll push them over to another time period, but I don't think I'll be able to do it weekly, but maybe biweekly or monthly, but I'll work something out. The key thing is this, you know, anybody that's got a case, they really got educated. They got to handle it themselves because we can't do it for them and a lawyer's not going to do it. And that's the bottom line. You have to become educated. So that's where it starts. And right now there's an opportunity to join your case to our case and we can work that out and help their case by what we're doing here. So,
I'm the same way. You know, I still have a lot to learn myself. And I want to be able to ask you a certain question, you know, if I need to, and I can't do it if somebody's rambling on about I don't even know what they're talking about half the time, you know, and they're not talking about common law. They're talking about 10 different things. And like you said, brothers and sisters and all this. Oh my goodness, John.
Right. Well, the people don't really realize they're trying. You see, unfortunately, people think you have to understand all of their problem, but you don't, because it gets down to the fundamentals. And the fundamentals, if you had your due process, you wouldn't even be in court because they couldn't touch you and they couldn't bother you. So we have to fix this problem, but I do understand the problem that we have, and I think I have a plan on how to deal with it, and maybe we'll even make the point as we move forward if anybody's calling concerning a case. We can't get into the details, but we can only spend a few minutes on it and then give them a place to go to try to get relief. And one of those places is to fill out the form and contact Jim and get involved, connected there, and join Nick.
Or, you know, a good policy would be 5 minutes for them, 5 minutes for you, and that's it. And
right.
You tell them 5 minutes, and then somebody else tells you, okay, your 5 minutes is up, John. Let's move on.
Okay.
That would be fantastic. I mean, I appreciate everything.
Well, I think that's what Terry wants to do, and maybe we'll do that, especially on a case, 5 minutes, and pipe in and say 5 minutes are up. So I have to remember to start off with, you know, we're not going to spend any more than 5 minutes on this.
Right. We want to make sure that
always,
if we have new members,
they can always come back in for a second round. You know, if they want, they can come back in on a second round.
Well, and we've done that, and they come back and they start off in the same place. So, you know, just direct them where they need to go. They need to go on the site, be familiar with the site, and if they know common law like they should, they're not going to be asking you all these questions anyway.
Right, but remember, most people coming here are ignorant to all of this stuff. A lot of people are just getting injured in the courts, and they find us, so we get a lot of injured people here, and you know, and it's tough, and I understand, you know, what the you know, I understand their sorrows and their problems, but again, we got another thing.
I feel for them as well. But if there's somebody new, I don't want them to listen to this over and over, and then they go, oh man, I'm not getting anywhere with these guys. I can't even get through, and you might be losing potential new members over this, and that's we can't afford to do that. Cannot.
All right, Jeff.
But thanks, John.
Thank you. Anybody else have anything before we close down? Because we want to close down shortly. We've been on for a couple hours already, 2 hours and 20 minutes. Anybody else before we close down? You want to pipe anything in? And
John,
and again,
I just want to say thank you. But I also want to share, too, that you might want to just be cautious as well, that they could be moles. They are purposely trying to throw things off kilter and distract. So I just say that in the nicest way, but I just, you know, put that out there. But yeah, I definitely look forward to connecting with all of you, and I love Alliance. I think that's a huge piece as we all come together for fighting this and uniting. So thank you and have a good night. Blessings.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, with that, we're going to shut down. But remember, this conversation doesn't have to really stop. We can pick up this conversation that we're talking about tonight, ideas and different things, because that's what the Monday night meeting is all about. I'm going to try to curtail my time period much more than what I'm doing. You know, I know I take usually over an hour, but I'm going to try to bring it down a lot less than that. But I do want to cover a subject every Monday, because this is a learning process. And it was kind of a coincidence, a unique thing that Brent came on talking with the same subject matter that I had brought up. I know he ran late, so I don't think he heard what I was talking about. But then he came in and was teaching on the habeas corpus also, and it really was a nice marriage of the conversation. So, but anyway, with that, Lord willing, we'll see you all next Monday. We are set up for a meeting next Wednesday, Jan. Is that it? At 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And that is to really talk to people who are and discuss very specifically, focus in on one point, and that point will be joining cases. Not discussing cases, joining cases. We might ask a few pieces of information to generically understand the case. It shouldn't take any more than a few minutes to tell us. We'll try to kind of hone that in for the person to understand and then direct them on what they could possibly do and to join and so on. So, and again, please, everybody,
thanks,
financially support us. We desperately need financial support to keep going and pay the bills, and we got a lot of paperwork coming up. So things are, we need money. So, but we will move on one way or the other with the widow's mite as best we can. God bless. Lord willing, next Monday. Thanks for coming. Bye.
Thanks. God bless, John. Eric from Houston signing off.